This morning, an interesting morning in that I arrived here and just had this feeling in the spirit that the Lord was busy rewriting and adding to what I prepared to share with you, which is never a comfortable feeling. We'll go with it and see. But before we do, on Tuesday evening, Tembi shared something concerning a dream that she had some years ago now. Probably back to 2011, 2012, it would have been that sort of time frame, maybe even 2010. And I've asked her if she'll come and share with everybody, and also for the purposes of the tape, look that dream and its subsequent interpretation by somebody whose judgment we would trust. So tell me, could you come and share with us? If you use that word.
On Tuesday Bible study, I shared, I don't know if some of you remember that I was so ill the first week, and I shared that I kept on getting his picture of me wearing a green jacket. And I remember I had that jacket many years ago. Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Maybe let me put it this way.
Yeah, okay.
So I kept on having this picture of me wearing this green jacket, standing somewhere out here. And then I'm thinking, well, what happened to me? I remember the jacket, I had it many years, but I couldn't remember. Like, Lord, remind me, what's this about? And then I remember that on that day when I was wearing this green jacket, standing here, I was sharing something which had happened in the school of the prophets, and yet in the school of the prophets, so one day I had a dream, and I shared this dream. I used to have a dream before going there, and then I'll share in the car with Ken. I said, oh, Ken, I had this dream. Ken said, oh, don't know what Mepo did, but while you're going to the school of the prophet, maybe you will share it there. And as we got there that day, the subject was on dreams. So then they said, anyone with a dream? And I'm like, yeah. And I shared the dream, and our teacher was Steve Kennedy, some will remember. And then he passed away. In this dream, I was coming into this place, and all I can remember is there was the evening pastor in that time that was pastor Mike, and the elder was like, but the healing leadership were there. It was a packed place. Very packed. People were getting healed. The blind were seeing. People were praying away like walking sticks. And like, oh my goodness, what is happening? Obviously, people are getting healed. Miracles are happening. It was really packed. But at the entrance into this place, there was a big bucket. And this bucket was full of coins. Silver. All different coins, and they seem to be filling up and filling up. So I shared this dream, and then Steve said, good, we're going to pray into you. So whenever something was shared, it was prayed for by the leader, the teacher, and so forth, and then they started perpetuating it. And what he shared, just maybe what I can remember, was that he sensed that the Lord was going to break out at some point and do miracles in our fellowship, because that involved the leaders and everyone, just showing that it's a congregation. Miracles would happen, but before that happened, it would come at a cost. So the cost was signified by the bucket full of the coins, the silver, the gold, and all that. And the cost being in prayer, a lot of working together as a unity, whatever it takes for the spirit to move. So that was that. But then on that day when I was sharing this dream here, what came, I really felt I could hear it clearly, was that before we saw these miracles happening to the people outside in the community, the miracles had to happen, the healings within us, amongst us, here in the fellowship. They had to start with us, and then they would fall over spill outside. And that miracle has happened as well. Because that's me. Last week, I was very poorly. I was extremely anemic. I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. And even after I started taking the iron tablet, my body wasn't absorbing it. And I thought I was dying, but I knew it wasn't dying. So I kept communicating with the Lord, and I realized that I took a B12 tablet, and I still felt so unwell. And last Sunday, came up here for communion, and I thought, oh, my healing is here. So I praised the Lord, I took communion, thought I'm going to feel great and fantastic after. Instead, I felt worse. I felt like walking out after, during the preaching, I was sitting at the back there, I was so ill, I was swaying, I thought I could just collapse any time, and I'm thinking, Lord, what is happening? And when Pastor Mike called up and altar call at the end of, I don't know how I got to the front, I was floating and I was covered in my stuff. He said he thought I was asleep. I just felt like I was dying every minute. And I didn't say anything that I wanted prayer for, I just was lost. Then Pastor Mike shared, he said, I can see a picture of someone receiving a blood transfusion. And the Lord was transfusing his own blood into you. And I felt this whole rush of blood, a big weight coming to me. And I'm like, oh, the blood is anti-journey, I've got a crush. But anti-journey was behind me. And the Lord has
restored. So, on Thursday evening, a number of us met here. Once we got the technical issues sorted out, we had a good time. For the first ever national, and as it turned out, international prayer event that was hosted by Elim Prayer Ministry from the Elim Church in Exeter, but over the internet. So we were gathered with the people Exeter, but we were gathered with people throughout the land. We were gathered with people throughout the world. They gave a list of the countries in which people had tuned in, it was a long list. I can't remember. I can remember a couple. I know Zimbabwe was in there. I know that India was in there. There were different places around Europe that had tuned in, where Elim have got missionaries. But during the time of worship that went with, as part of that evening of prayer, we sang a song, the chorus of which says this: Lord, send revival, start with me.
Amen.
Lord, send revival, start with me.
Amen.
You see, revival doesn't come generally by the Holy Spirit falling en masse in the community, but it starts when God begins to challenge the hearts of his people, and his people return to their first love. And as they return to the first love, they get fired up to take the gospel out in power. Hallelujah. And I'm trusting that when we sang those words, they were not just words that we sang. Somebody very sagely once said that Christians don't tell lies, they sing them. I'm trusting that we were not singing lies on Thursday evening. So what is revival? The introduction to a book, Hearts on Fire, by Colin Dye. Walking in Personal Revival is like the subtitle. The introduction is entitled, What is Revival? Most people think of revival as God moving on a grand scale. They point to the great revivals of the past when thousands flocked to Christ. For example, during the Welsh Revival, 100,000 people became believers in a matter of months. Pubs were emptied, churches were filled. Hundreds of foul-mouthed miners were saved and gave up their cursing. And the donkeys in the coal mines could not understand the new curse-free commands of their masters. And so work in the mines stopped until the animals got used to the new language. Many are familiar with these and other stories of divine visitation. But what is the real essence of revival? What is at the heart of it? If we don't know, we may miss what God is doing in these crucial times. And in particular, we may miss what God is saying to us personally. You see, revival begins in the heart. Your heart. My heart. It is when you come back to your first love of Jesus. It means you turn from the things that displease him and the sins that are grieving the Holy Spirit. Revival is the deepening of God's work as the Holy Spirit intensifies his influence within you. Ephesians 5:41 says, Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. The double picture of sleep and death shows the state of the hearts of many believers today. Instead of being alive to Christ, they sleep the sleep of death. A revival awakens sleeping souls and rouses the spiritually dead. God is calling you to come to him in the power of a renewed life. He is drawing you into a fresh relationship with him. Revival begins with a new experience of the Father's love. Only then can he reach out through you to those around you who do not know him at all. God is restoring his light to the church. He wants you to shine with all the beauty, clarity, and brightness of God's holiness and power. The light of Christ shining from you has the capacity to expose the evil deeds of darkness. And that's what God wants us to do. But how can we do so in any credible way when we're participating in the very things that we should be reproving? We must learn to walk in a spirit of repentance. We must see sin for what it is, unfruitful, shameful, offensive to God. It's time to develop zero tolerance to sin in our lives. In the parable of Jesus, the returning son learned the meaning of repentance in his father's arms. In that embrace, he found unconditional love and he felt the heartbeat of his father. Knowing such grace and forgiveness, the son now wanted more than anything else to enjoy the Father's fellowship and walk in harmony with his will. Holiness flows from our relationship with God. Our revival is all about finding that relationship of intimacy. It is time to return to God and experience the joy of the love of the Father. I asked Tembi to share because, as she said, recently there have been in our midst people who have experienced healing. There have been people who are not part of our fellowship who have experienced healing as we have prayed for them. There have been people who are part of our fellowship who have experienced healing as we have prayed for them, as Tembi has just shared one example of that. And there have been people who are part of our fellowship Their loved ones who have experienced healing as a result of being prayed for by other people in other settings. And when Tenby shared this on Tuesday, it just came to my mind that we are beginning to see the fulfillment of what God promised in that dream that Tenby had so long ago. Why has it taken this long? Haven't got a clue. Perhaps we ourselves have not been ready for it. Perhaps God is using this as an opportunity to shake us and challenge us to step out in personal revival, so that out of our individual personal revivals, God can begin to move in revival within our fellowship, so that we are fully equipped to go forth into the world. We reminded ourselves of some of the healings that we'd seen and heard of. We prayed for Tenby's sister a week or so before we went off to River Camp. And without being indelicate, she hadn't had a bowel movement for 3 weeks. And everything was bunged up. And we prayed for her. And God moved, amongst other things moving. Because God moved, everything else began to move. Tenby's testimony herself. Last Sunday, it wasn't an immediate healing. Tenby cut short what she shared this morning. But right through the afternoon, she believed that God had touched her. She believed that God had healed her. And she was feeling iller and iller and iller.
Yeah.
And she came to Beaufort Lodge. And I'm not quite sure how, but she did. And she felt iller and iller and iller. And she and Marion and Lindy went off down to Rossi's for an ice cream. And she really didn't know how she was going to get back. And Marion, who's got a bad back, ended up carrying all of Tenby's stuff as well as her own. But her back gave her no problem. And as Tenby got home, she just began to feel the benefits of what we had prayed over her in the morning.
Thank you. Thank you.
Recently, Oral went to a meeting in Southend, and there was a word of knowledge about people whose legs were giving them trouble. And Oral responded, and his legs, his testimony is, his legs have been healed. But he also got them to pray for his fiancée, Carol, who's had a dodgy knee. And since that time, her knee has been fine. She is now walking without her stick.
Thank you.
So we've got all these things which seem to me to be the beginning, and I believe it is only the beginning of the fulfillment of the dream that Tenby shared on Tuesday. And I really feel in my spirit that this is the time for that dream to be fulfilled. I don't believe these are just random things where God is responding, but actually it's got nothing to do with what he said to us in the past. And so I just want us, let's turn to scripture. Always a good move, because we want to see this revival. We want to see these healings continuing. We want to see them developing. We want to see the ministry growing. We want to see it going out into the world, into Westcliff. We want to see people set free. Set free from addiction. Set free from fear. All the things we've been singing about today. And beginning Mark chapter 1. Mark doesn't waste any time. Mark gets going and he's in there. And And one of the characteristics of Mark's gospel is it's one thing, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. There's not a lot of padding with Mark. But we read, and I believe this is a pattern for revival. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, starting at verse 9, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness. And as he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now John was arrested, and Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel." And passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. And then they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent. Come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. And that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling before him, and said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." And moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will be clean." "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. Next Sunday, and again, I don't believe this is coincidence, it's the fifth Sunday in the month. It's the Sunday where we focus on wholeness and well-being, and healing and health. And I have a feeling that it is time for Tenby's dream to be fulfilled in our midst. Not just with me and David, not just with the leadership team, but each one of us having that opportunity to be used by God. Each one of us coming to that place of personal revival. And as I say, this passage in Mark just reveals something of the steps for personal revival. And the first thing that happened with Jesus was he went to be baptized. And as he went to be baptized, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. My friends, much as it grieves me to say this, I cannot hear anyone wrong. If Jean were here, I am given to understand that Jean is a very accomplished and a very clever surgeon. But Jean cannot heal you. And I'm sure he would be the first to admit it. He does what he does. But God completes the job. God is the healer. And my friends, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We need to be being filled, as Paul writes Amen. To the Ephesians, yes. with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
I had my first experience of the Holy Spirit back in about 73, 74, somewhere around there. Unfortunately, at that time I went to a traditional Baptist church, and there was nobody who could explain what on earth was going on to me. And it was wasn't until 1988 that I was fully baptized in the Spirit and began to speak in tongues. But we need to be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
You see, what happened to me in 1988 wasn't a once-for-all event. One of the problems with being human is that in spiritual terms we leak. We're like a leaky tap, a leaky hose pipe. And we get filled with the Spirit. But because we're not able to walk that perfect life that Jesus walked, the Spirit leaks out. We need to become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We need to recognize that the Holy Spirit is sensitive. And if we start to move outside the plans and purposes and will of God, if we start to behave in a way, as Colin Dye said in that introduction, that actually brings dishonor and grieves God, then the Holy Spirit will withdraw.
That's right.
The Bible says the Holy Spirit is like a dove. You know, if I was looking, I would struggle to tell the difference between a dove and a pigeon. They're very closely related to one another, but they have completely different character and completely different nature. Because if you go like that to a pigeon, it will flap away and then it will come back trying to get hold of your chicks a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time. If you've got a bag of chips, it's a bit like seagulls, the pigeons will be after you. If you're walking down the high street eating your burger, the pigeons will follow you, waiting for the crumbs to fall. You do the slightest thing to disturb a dove's peace, and the dove is off. And my friend, the Holy Spirit is not described as a pigeon, he's described as a dove. We need Spirit-filled lives. I need my life to be Spirit-filled. You need your lives to be Spirit-filled in order for revival to begin to take place. Within our fellowship, we need all of the gifts of the Spirit operating within the body. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation. They're the ones listed in 1 Corinthians 12. But there are other giftings of the Holy Spirit that are detailed in there as well. And it's not that we are recognized for our gifts, because it's by our fruits that we are recognized.
Amen.
But as the fruit develops and grows, we need to experience the gifts of God at work in us and through us. So corporately we need to use it, we need all of these gifts to be being used in order to bring the full wisdom of God into the ministry of the church. But my friends, if we begin to walk this path, if we begin to turn back to our first love, if we stop being lukewarm, as John described it in the letters to the churches in Revelation, if we allow the Spirit to come and to flood our beings, the dream that Tembi had mentioned the cost. And there was a cost for Jesus. The initial, the cost ultimately was it was going to take him to the cross. Now the scriptural command for us is that we take up our cross and walk daily. We surrender our lives not for him but to him. The temptation of Jesus immediately after he got filled with the Spirit. The Spirit led him into the wilderness where he was tempted. And my friends, the more closely we walk with the Holy Spirit, the more closely we walk with God, the more life is going to be open when we're being tempted by the enemy of our souls. The more that we determine in our hearts that we are going to follow Jesus, the more we are going to know the attack of the enemy. You see, in warfare, if there's a particular sector where the enemy is not under attack, he withdraws the troops from that and sends it to where the attack is from. And the one thing I can guarantee you is that the enemy of our souls does not want to see healings. He does not want to see personal revival. He does not want to see us bursting out onto the streets. He does not want to see the things of God beginning to take hold and prevalence in our communities. And so if we determine in our hearts that that is the path that we are going to follow, we can expect opposition. And so Jesus is tempted. But then following temptation, we see Jesus begins to draw others to him. Simon and Andrew, James and John, left their life's work behind at a word from Jesus. And my friends, as we begin to live in personal revival, I believe with all my heart that what we will see is that we will become attracted to others who will want to know what it is that we have got. And then there was the proclamation of the gospel and the call to repentance. And following on from the call to the proclamation of the gospel and the call to repentance, God begins to move in power, demonstrating the truth of the kingdom of God through miracles, through healings, through deliverance. The healings begin. The kingdom is demonstrated in power. Simon's mother-in-law gets up from her sick bed and serves everybody who was in the house. People came springing their sick, and Jesus reached out in compassion and ministered to them all. And it spread, and it spread, and it spread. You see, Jesus didn't stay in Capernaum. I get the feeling that Peter would have been quite happy, Simon Peter would have been quite happy to stay in Capernaum and just minister in Capernaum. But Jesus' vision was bigger than that. And so he didn't stay at his home base. He made that his home base for the rest of his ministry, but he didn't stay in his home base. He went out into the other towns and into the other villages. And my friends, I believe that as we indulge and as we allow personal revival to come and to take a hold in our lives, that we will find that we are taking the gospel further and further and further and further out. Might not get beyond the bounds of Southend, Westcliff, Lee, whatever. Might be that you get called to take the gospel somewhere else, even unto the ends of the earth, as Acts tells us. I've had that privilege. But it starts with revival. And as Jesus moves out, the healings continue. We read of a leper being healed. There is some doubt as to whether, every time the Bible says leper, whether it was actually leprosy, but it was some, it would certainly have been some unpleasant skin disease. And if you look at it, Jesus moves with compassion. What does he do? Most people, when they saw a leper, took two steps backwards. And the leper was required by law to carry a bell and to ring it, say unclean, so that people could move out of their way, because they thought at that time that leprosy was incredibly infectious and contagious. I can't remember which is which, it doesn't matter. And what does Jesus do? The Bible tells us he reaches out his hand and touches him. That man hadn't been known a human touch in donkey's years, since his leprosy, whatever it was, first fell. The Bible says he stretched out his hand. I've almost got a picture of Jesus saying, "Be clean," and then drawing him in and giving him the hope of a father. I can't prove that. I might be completely wrong. But I know that the word that in the translation we read was translated pity. If you go back to the original Greek, it's actually compassion. And my friends, personal revival will bring about in our hearts a sense of compassion for the lost and the least, so that we too, not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Holy Spirit, as we're guided by God, can reach out to the lepers in our society, those who people step away from, those who people ignore. You see, in Capernaum and beyond, revival broke out. The revival broke out when Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. And my friends, revival will break out in our communities when we have a personal revival in our hearts, in our lives. We've got God reminding us of a dream and its interpretation that was shared many years ago. We've got what I believe to be the seeing the beginnings of the fulfillment of that dream. And the question is, am I prepared to pay the cost involved? The question is, are you as individuals prepared to pay the cost involved? The question is, are we corporately prepared to pay the cost that is involved in order that we might see the fulfillment of the dream, the prophecy that came? Are we ready to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh? Or are we happy just to sit back and plod on as we've been plodding on? I hope not. We shared communion earlier. In sharing communion, we remembered the sacrifice of Jesus. we remember that he went to the cross and died on the cross in order that he might pay the penalty for all of the sin that we have committed in the past, are contemplating committing, or even will commit in the future. It doesn't matter. There is nothing that you have done, are doing, or can do that can cause God to love you one iota less than he does. And always has done. And my friends, we need to come back to the foot of the cross. We need to come and confess where we have failed. We need to ask the Lord to restore and to renew our relationship with him. We need to rediscover that first love, that excitement when Jesus first came and touched our lives. Like the prodigal son, we need to encounter the arms of love wrapping around us. And we need to be turning and going forward. We want to see the revival that Demi's dream spoke about happening in our midst. But it's a decision, it's an individual decision that will impact us both individually and corporately. But it is not a decision we can make corporately. It's a decision that each person needs to make for themselves. That introduction that I read earlier finishes off. Trust the Holy Spirit to bring that change in you today. As you read this book, open your heart to what God wants to do in you. Let him revive your heart and ignite within you a fresh flame for the love of Jesus. Perhaps you've never made that decision to follow Jesus. Well, make that decision this morning. Let him revive your heart and ignite within you a fresh flame of love for Jesus and for the Father's presence. And let this flame become a beacon to guide you as you walk in the paths of righteousness. And then it finishes with a prayer. Lord Jesus, revive me today. Make my heart new again. Cleanse me from my sin and purify me from my defilement. But by your grace I turn from my sin. Give me your strength and your power to live the life you died and rose again for me to have. Revive the fire you placed in my soul. Restore the love you gave me at first. And refresh my spirit with the joy of your presence. Hallelujah. Jesus. And so you can make that prayer your own if you want to use those particular words. I haven't got them printed out, but I can send them around by email, or I get Jenny to send them around by email. I can put them up on our website so that you can use them yourselves if you want to. But my friends, as we prepare the next Sunday and focusing on health and well-being, we need a fresh anointing of Holy Spirit power. And so if anybody would like specific prayer this morning, please come forward and we will be happy to pray with you. You don't need to come forward, you can ask the person sitting next to you to pray for you or round about you. I say it doesn't matter who prays for you. What matters is that you want to get in touch with the heart of Almighty God.